Welcome to the podcast by Little Honey Money. Wellness, support, and wisdom for new motherhood in the modern world.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Joanna. And you're listening to the podcast by Little Honey Money, where we talk about all things wellness and support for new motherhood while growing our own tech baby called Little Honey Money. We've created a new kind of baby registry. We call it the Mother and Baby Registry, helping moms get exactly what they need when they need it. We'll be sharing a lot about that throughout our podcast.
On this podcast, you'll hear personal experiences and opinions that are not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. As always, seek advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you have regarding medical topics or otherwise relating to your own health. And although we try to keep it light, delicate subject matter does come up and may be triggering for some people. Having said that, we hope you enjoy our conversation and gain something positive from it.
And now, let's kick off today's episode.
Welcome to today's episode. Joanna's back on the pod after maternity leave. And it's a really special episode because I'm actually interviewing her. So, Joanna, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm happy you jumped on last episode with Astrid from Ogni. And I'm looking forward to catching us up on all the things. Birth, labor, postpartum, your Little Honey Money registry, and all the things in between.
Can you believe it? Like, what was it, 2 years ago, a year ago?
We first started the podcast 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
When we were first.
And just like the conversations we were having, I think as we were walking out of the building, going across the street to Zinc, and just talking about, yeah, like what I like motherhood and this platform and what it could do for moms and just being on the other end of, and you even saying like, you're going to be like one of the best case studies for us to really see how this can support during pregnancy, like birth and postpartum. And it's just really cool to see and really cool to be here and be on the other side of it. And we have so much more to do for Little Honey Money. And I have so many ideas even coming out of, you know, now being a new mom. Gosh, even still saying being a mom is like wild to me, though. I'm what, 10, she's 10 weeks and 10 weeks postpartum. And still when I say like my daughter or being a mom, it's like, it's kind of wild. It's like out of body. Kind of for me.
Yeah, it is crazy when you think about those 2 years, because we'd talk about you were just starting your IVF journey, which you had shared through the podcast. And you know, I was learning a lot about that through you, and you were so candid about it. And you know, I just want to say, like, I know we've known each other since we were barely grownups, and we've seen so many, many like life phases and moments, and you've handled this pregnancy, IVF, like all of it with so much grace. And honestly, when things weren't easy, you just took them into your own hands in every way that you could. And I really admire the way you handled everything, and look where you are with your beautiful family and your healthy daughter. And I'm just so happy for you. Oh my God, are we going to cry? Like, am I about to cry?
I'm like, already.
I'm just so happy.
We're like 3 minutes in.
I know.
Thank you. No, like I've cried more in the last year and a half, and all happy cries, by the way, very just like you tap into such like a cool emotional side of yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know, like motherhood's everything everyone said it is. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. And it cracks you open in a whole new way.
It does.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And it's challenged me to like really tap into my feelings and my body. And I have a new appreciation for my body that I didn't have before. Like, you know, working out to me before being pregnant was so different from working out and eating healthy while pregnant. It's so much more intentional. It's so much more like you're like nourishing your body and loving it and catering to it, not like stressing it out and like eating it up, you know? And there are a lot of things during pregnancy that I really told myself I want to continue to bring on postpartum. And I journaled a lot because I was feeling these ways. I was like, I don't want to forget this feeling and this like this new way of feeling for me personally.
And you've said something numerous times that also gets me in my feelings, that Little Honey Money has shaped your journey and that you have so much more knowledge and awareness and like information than if you hadn't been immersed in this world as you've been on your journey and as we've been building this platform. And you know, just for me on a personal level, it makes me so happy that you're my friend and that you've had a positive experience and that it's helped you. But it's also why I was compelled to start Little Honey Money is because of all of that. And so I'd love to just talk about specifically, like, in what ways would you say that Little Honey Money helped you?
I would say even more than the gifts I received through my registry, for me, it was like the education and the knowledge of things that I would have never known about or been in conversation around if I hadn't been a part of this platform. So, you know, when we're younger and in our 20s, you think of, you know, you're pregnant, all you think about is labor, like once you're in labor, and then like taking care of the baby and keeping the baby alive. So first I would say education. I feel like being able to just have access to these wellness providers, these women who really are that village to new moms, that helped me so much. I learned about why acupuncture is great for you, why a night nanny is very beneficial if you value sleep. What is a birthing doula? What is a postpartum doula? What is pelvic floor therapy? Why prioritizing your mental health pre and during post baby could benefit you? Massages regularly, chiropractic, and all these things I'm saying are all the things I actually did throughout. And I think they really helped me. I think that they are what shaped my pregnancy specifically, which ultimately kept me in a good spirit, kept my body feeling good. I'm assuming helped my baby grow, all those things. I would say education is first. And then of course, having my registry not stress me out where I needed to think of all these things I wanted to put on my registry, not knowing if I'll need them and not knowing if I want to keep them and being like, shoot, what if I have to return all these things? I hate returning things.
So wait, it took the pressure off of you having to register like and know what the products were?
Yeah. My mother-in-law was asking for the registry like months before, you know, and it's so lovely. People want to support you.
It's well into
40
yes.
women at my baby shower.
Yeah.
I didn't even have 40 things in mind that I needed or wanted for the baby or for us postpartum.
Yeah.
So being able to have that as an option, and people knowing that I was involved in this platform and how passionate I was in it, but any other mom, they were the ones gifting on Little Honey Money. And that money helped, you know, at the point you get the funds through our platform. For me, I'd already kind of invested quite a lot into my pregnancy, like my workouts and things like that. So like if somebody bought me a workout class, yay, thank you so much. Like, because every dollar going out, you think about it as a new parent because you're worried about expenses that are going to come up. And for me and my husband, IVF was expensive. Luckily, his company covered a lot of it, but we still paid out of pocket for quite a bit. And like everything is just adds up. So that support as the next tier, I would go education first, knowledge, know-how, resources. And the next was definitely getting gifts from friends to support things that I wanted for entering into motherhood.
Yeah, I love that. And it's also like all the things that you said that you wanted to do, and it's expensive, right? But those are the things that we know make the journey better. And that's why your friends who are moms gifted you those things, because they know that they're actually going to help you.
But you know what's interesting is like when you look at something like, let's say it's $275 on like the website that I registered for something, let's just say there's something on there for $270, that somebody then gives you $300 towards like a night nanny session. For some reason, I was like, whoa, they gave me $300. But like, it seems like such a big deal. But no, they would have bought me something for $300, $275. That's like a bottle warmer or a sterilizer or something in that vein, or like a stroller. But it's interesting how even I on the other side of it see it as like, oh my God, they gave me, I had to remind myself like, Joanna, like this is all going towards what you want for your baby, for your home, for your motherhood journey. Like it's something we have to retrain ourselves to realize that like, this is the one time you ask for friends and family and they want to support everything that you want to make your journey amazing. I was surprised at some people who like gave me such great gifts through Little Honey Money, then afterward sent me flowers to my home, sent me meals. Like they were continuing to go and ask me like, what can I get you? Hey, I'm at Air One. Do you want to pick you up some soups? Do you, I'm at the farmer's market. Do you want to do this? And just like, yeah, this is great. Like, maybe I will get pregnant again. So I even had to retrain myself as somebody who like doesn't really like to ask for things to realize that like people wanted to.
They want to. It's all good intentions. Everybody wants to help you in the ways that mean the most. And I think even with a traditional baby registry, like we're used to, like you add a bunch of things that you want, and then people get excited to buy you something that you're going to use and that's going to be meaningful for you. Right. But for some people specifically, and it sounds like for you and for me and for many other people out there, the most meaningful and significant things aren't actually things sometimes. And sometimes they are, but the thing is, when you're pregnant, you have no idea how to attach value to anything that you haven't yet experienced, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're pregnant, and the thing that's valuable to you is going to those workout classes or eating a certain way or taking care of your mental health or body a certain way, then you're just asking them to divert the money that they would have spent on something that you may or may not use. And you're asking them to put it towards something that you absolutely will use or have used or are using. So
Totally. I just early on, I just knew that I needed to kind of keep going and I needed to find ways to feel good, show up for my team, be at my office, keep moving, continue to like invest in my relationship with my husband and like nourish myself. I couldn't like slow down. I needed to like know that I was being really good to myself because the few times I was feeling under the weather or was feeling like my body was hurting, it was those times when I wasn't prioritizing treating myself well. I wasn't like, let's say sleeping, or I wasn't stretching. I wasn't moving my body. So that little bit of not guilt, but that like admitting all of the things that I did.
Nobody is exempt from all these things that you've experienced. Totally. Like your body's going through these changes. We're all going through that as a human, as a woman who's carrying a child.
Which is goes back to why we create a little honey money of like, it made my journey so much better. And, you know, that was with me even putting my own money up front, but helping other friends and family realize when women are entering into this whole new experience of their life, it doesn't matter if they're like strong, these like powerful female entrepreneurs, this, they need support just as much as the women who, you know, maybe don't come off as like, oh, I got this all handled. Like, I would feel emotional to the women that didn't really like invest in themselves during that time because you're so vulnerable. You're so like so many changes going on and it's just a lot.
You know, just thinking about the idea that not all of these services and maternal health isn't accessible to everyone. If you're in a position to be like creating a baby registry, that's a privilege and a luxury in itself. And that's why the more that we educate, and there are so many people out there educating on what we're talking about, we just happen to be a solution for like the financial aspect of it. But the more people are educated about it, the more they will actually see value in it.
And this is for any woman who's pregnant right now, start really evaluating what it is that you really want and prioritize those things and think about cross-support those things. Because in my 20s, you know, or before even thinking about having a baby, it was like, I need diapers and I need bottles. Just all of the intricacies of breastfeeding, potential complications that can come along with that, you know, i.e. having a lactation consultant or things my body is going through during pregnancy and ways to support my body, like acupuncture, pelvic floor therapy, chiropractic. None of those things would have been kind of top of mind. I would have almost just been hitting those walls as I hit them and then having to figure it out. And I remember that was what you would always tell me when we were first working on this. It's like, all these things I ended up needing, but I didn't know until I needed them. And it heightened that situation so much more. So I was able to kind of avoid that in a way by being a part of a community and really in the community with Little Honey Money. And then the next part, of course, is getting support from friends and family on my registry. So I had another traditional baby registry. I probably had about 15 items on there. I think I started with like 40 because every friend and every mom would be like, you need this, what about this? And then I naturally am like, oh, that's cute. That's cute. I start building that list. And then I started editing it down. I sent it around to a few friends. Like, what do I not need on here? Like, tell me like what you love, what you don't. But that was a cool place, regardless of my little honey money. To be honest, I create, it exactly is a list of things that maybe you'll want later. And then I put together my bigger pieces for Little Honey Money, which were night nanny support. You know, I put money towards my doula, which was the lovely Lori Bregman. And I'm so grateful that she was able to, you know, support me and work with me. She's also my neighbor, so it made sense.
I
had already been working with her even before my baby shower, but I put a fund towards that. Meal plans. Gosh, we talk a lot about that. I would say that was like my other top three. It's like nourishment throughout pregnancy and postpartum was so huge for me. And I really loved organic horror and I did that. So I kind of budgeted out like how many, you know, weeks I wanted to do for that. And I broke it up into like meals. So people would buy 1 to 2 nights of meals for me and Josh on my registry. And I put housekeeper in there. You know, we have someone that comes and supports us around the house once in a while. And, you know, knowing that there's now another person and the night nanny at the house, I just, for me, organization was just so important to like keep my mental well-being together that people would give towards that. I mean, I did date nights, I did massages, and I kind of just threw all these buckets of things I wanted. And knowing all these things that I could have as a part of my journey, I had to look at them and say, okay, this is a lot. I want all of it. Because I feel like in every episode, Erica, I was like, I want to do that. You know, from placenta encapsulation to cord clamping, all of these things. By the way, I did neither of those two things. because I had to prioritize a little bit. So just being able to like have enough time in advance to plan out and have resources, know who to reach out to. Pretty much everyone that we had connected with, I ended up using and working with in some capacity.
I gotta say we do have a pretty solid Rolodex here. Oh, yeah.
In LA, like we are like, you know, I want to do something great on social. I'll create a blog post because they were all so supportive. I had these really beautiful moments after I had Ellie. And my daughter's name is Eliana. Dia, middle name is Dia. My mom's name was Lydia. And so Dia is in honor of my mom's name and last name Gold, well, Angel. But I would have these like moments journaling and just like reflecting on all these beautiful women's faces who were like my village that I built around my little honey money. You know, it was such a tribe and they were all kind of curated through working on Little Honey Money. And another thing I want to add, the number of hand-me-downs, incredible hand-me-downs. And I love the term hand-me-downs because I was in hand-me-downs as a kid my whole life. And it was, I loved it. I looked great. My brother, everything my brother grew out of, I was like in. Like, my friends gave me so many incredible, because what are people like to say now? So it sounds more like
pre-loved.
Like, pre-loved. Okay. Pre-loved. I call hand-me-downs. I got some of the best stuff.
Oh, it's my the best.
I found Maisie and Karen like hooked it up. And it's, there were things I'm like, the best. Thing. I wish I would have not gotten these things because they were expensive and yours totally. Was just as good.
Totally.
And so I remember before the baby came, people said, oh, can I give you these things? I'm like, no, like, let's wait.
Totally.
Don't say no. Take them. Go through them.
They're the best things.
Go through them. And then we had our friend Keenan, our mutual friend who had a baby just like 3 weeks after me. And everything that I either finish using because she grows out of it, or that maybe like I have another one, it goes on to her. It is like this beautiful cycle.
And there's soul behind it. And there's like, I loved when I got like my friend's clothes, because then you send a picture of your baby in those clothes. And then it like pulls at the heartstrings for the mom that gave it to you because she remembers her baby in it. And it's like such a beautiful story and it's less wasteful and it gives you more money to get the things that really support your journey, because those pre-loved items, those hand-me-downs and those, like, by the way, everything newborn is gently used, everything, because the newborn phases go so fast that it's impossible for it to be.
But by the way, can I share something that I was very surprised about? I got and bought so many great 0 to 3 month things. My baby came home. She wasn't early. She came out 2 days after her due date. She was small though. She was 6 pounds, 3 ounces and nothing fit her. I think when they put 0 to 3, just know that it's closer to 3. It's not closer to always 0, like small. So yeah, those type of things, as we've talked about over and over in episodes, it's like they come. You don't need to pre-buy, pre-order, and pre-think some of those smaller things. Now, the things we did non-negotiable need and made sure we had was our baby's crib. We had, you know, and that's if you're not like co-sleeping and things like that, which I've been reading more about. It sounds beautiful. But our baby was sleeping in a crib and our car seat, need a car seat, and the stroller. Our stroller was a little behind because what we wanted was like back ordered, but we got the Nuna and we actually really love it. It's super lightweight. It's like, I love showing my friends who don't have kids how easy you like grab the leather base and pull it up and it just like closes on its own and put it in the trunk. And they're always so impressed. Stroller, car seat, and swaddles. Swaddles were the things that we were using. We had these really great stretchy jersey swaddles. And those would, if I had to think back, even though it's such a blur, like those few things were the main things the baby were in. It was like car seat at the doctor's appointment, in their crib to go to sleep, and swaddle to help them sleep. And then, of course, clothes.
But clothes is kind of optional for newborns. I remember my baby were like in diapers a lot of the time.
Really cozy blanket.
Yeah. Because a lot of the changing them just felt so uncomfortable for them that, you know, depending, obviously it's like if it's wintertime, you don't like freeze. But I remember my babies just being in a diaper so often and just like with little swaddle blanket wrapped around them.
Yeah.
But like what you just said is like, it's very basic, right? Like you didn't need a lot for the baby.
And my mother-in-law got us her crib. You know, she wanted to get us the like the biggest thing on our registry, and it was very sweet of her, and her aunt. But those three things I know we were using around the clock beginning. The number of things we've purchased through like Amazon or quickly like picked up from a store, pump station in Santa Monica has been such a like a lifesaver, has really like came as we needed them, and they were so accessible. It wasn't like my baby's not latching, I need a lactation consultant, I need to find somebody, it's gonna take me 3 days and she's staying up every night. Like those are the type of things that I feel like I was really able to avoid by being ahead of those things and having those. My night nanny is a lactation consultant, and that was so important to me when I hired her, that she was both certified as that and was going to be with us helping us get sleep at night and transition into being new parents. But all the other little things we needed to support breastfeeding or like support the baby just was able to be picked up in within an hour or shipped to us same day.
Yeah, that's the thing. So when you know you need it, these aren't scarce items. Like you can get
exactly
the things that you need once you realize that it's an actual need. And I think that that's the biggest difference, is that when you look at how we've done baby registries in the past, it's like stockpiling everything you may need in case you need it. And our mentality, a little that's honey right. money, is kind of like just buy for the actual need, not the perceived need. So once you realize you need these things, then do the research and, you know, ask around, or, you know, it's available. It's easy to get if you have the resources and the funds to get them.
Hey, it's Erica, and I want to share a quick backstory. When I was pregnant with my first baby, I spent so much time trying to find all the best things for my baby. There are just so many things out there for newborns, and it was really hard to know what we would actually need. But when my baby arrived, I was surprised to find that I really didn't need to spend that much time obsessing over the products for her and for the nursery. I actually needed stuff too. And really, it was the care and the support that we had around our family that made the biggest difference to us. Once I knew this, I was a lot more focused on my own health and the care services for my family. I'm talking about things like doulas, baby nurses, acupuncture, meal deliveries, lactation specialists, fitness classes, and the list goes on. Those were the things that made my new motherhood experience more enriched every day. And honestly, the better off I was, the more my entire family benefited from it. So when I was pregnant with my second baby, I really wanted to find a baby registry that helped me prioritize those things in addition to what I needed for my baby. I just couldn't find one. And I've now talked to hundreds of other moms who have found themselves in that same boat. And that's why I set out to create a new kind of baby registry that challenges the way we shower new moms with gifts. Because I'm convinced there's a better way to give them what they really need. And it starts with putting the mother first. So here you go, the baby registry that I was looking for. Little Honey Money. It's here, it's live, and it's ready to help you get what you need when you need it. Check us out at littlehoneymoney.com. But for now, let's get back to our episode.
I want to take it back to labor. It's funny because when you're around your due date, people around you are kind of like watching you, but you don't know it. And I was thinking about how when you went into labor, I had sent you an email that day and I got an auto office auto reply or whatever. And I was like, it's happening.
And auto response.
Yeah, you did. But you didn't say you were in labor.
Just like imagine.
No, but that's why, because I knew
a good idea. I should have done that and put my registry.
Genius. Pro tip. Because I knew your due date, like the second I got that out of office auto reply, I was like, oh my God, it's happening. She's in labor. And it took everything for me not to text you and be like, oh my God, tell me everything. How are you doing? What's going on? But I just was like, okay, like relax. Yeah. Things are, and I know you were in good hands because I know Lori was your doula. What was your experience like having a doula support?
Working with Lori, you know, the few months prior and being able to have these like conversations around what's happening to my body and how to really like listen to it and not overthink it or get anxiety about it or be like, I really enjoyed her being able to walk us through like what is happening to my body during that time. And then she also helped ways my husband can support me when we're really close or in the hospital. So really nice to have somebody to text, call, ask questions about. You know, she had me like eating the dates and drinking the raspberry tea and doing the nettle tea. It was all of those good things, having electrolytes. So she was like my like coach for my big game day that I just really was able to lean on. So that was fantastic having her. But I always knew that the biggest value I was going to get from a doula is the day in the hospital, because it's such a foreign like territory for any of us that have never given birth. And the hospital system, you kind of do have like this, like, they know what they're doing. How can I tell them no? So I felt comfortable and confident having somebody like Lori, who was like my advocate and able to like speak on my behalf and really just support me and Josh during that. So
I just want to plug really quick the business of being born, because if you don't know what the hospital experience is like, that is a film that is eye-opening just to be able to be informed.
It's eye-opening for sure. Yeah. I really recommend it. I watched it during, because Lori had said, you should really watch this film. My husband was so fascinated by it as well. It's very eye-opening. It's highly recommended as well. So my due date was on the 23rd. I was so ready to get this baby out. And I had my girlfriends coming over, I had 3 or 4 friends coming over just to like cheers and celebrate making my due date. I didn't feel what was happening that day, but that same morning I went in for my checkup and the doctor said, you know, that they were like really checking to see what's going on with the baby. And I guess from the week prior to the week of me seeing her, the baby hadn't grown in weight or the stomach hadn't grown. So she was worried that she wasn't getting nutrition. And the fluids in my placenta were low, which basically means that my placenta is kind of at the end of its cycle of wanting to do what it's going to do. And we would like to induce you. I think you should go to the hospital, get induced. And immediately when she said that, every single, like, I was like, oh man, it's happening. It's happening to me. I'm going to get induced. I'm going to end up with a C-section. And that just was immediately where my mind went. But then the other side of me was like, well, how can I, even though I had messaged Lori right away. I was like, oh, she wants to do this. She's like, gave me a couple tips or questions I could ask. And I did. And the doctor wasn't really budging. Now, look, it was completely up to me to decide to go home and not listen to the doctor. Say in my mind, I'm going to trust my body. I feel fine. Give my body a couple more days. But in that instance, I kind of pulled back a little bit, but I couldn't go against that. Like her telling me that my baby wasn't getting the right nutrition. It's really hard to say, no, I don't believe you, doctor. I'm going to go. In that instance,
it's impossible. It's truly impossible.
So what I did say was like, okay, is it do or die? Like, do I need to go to the hospital right now? Are you like really concerned about me? Or can I go home? I have friends there waiting for me to kind of like see me off into this next phase. And I want to pack a bag, get in the car with my husband. And she was like, yes, that's totally fine. I'll meet you back at the hospital around like 7 p.m. At that time, it was like 11 a.m. So it's like, well, she must be that scared if I can leave and come back by like 7. So went home, cheers, toast to my friends, took pictures with them. It was a really lovely little moment. And then I got in the car and just was driving down the canyon. It was like a 30, 40 minute drive. Me and Josh just talking like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's coming up? And I was equal parts really excited to like meet her, but also just knew like, it was going to be 50-50 that I went one way where I got her through vaginally and it happened and the induction just really helped push the process forward. And then the other end being like, or it's going to push my body to do something it's not ready for. And it's going to end up in a C-section. And drum roll, it ended up in a C-section. And I was reflecting and I was at such peace with it. And even now I'm at such peace with it. Like I kept thinking like, C-section was the worst thing, quote unquote, that could happen to me because I felt like I heard that around me. But like, for me, it wasn't. It was like 10 minutes later, my baby was on my chest and I could breathe finally because she was here. Like nothing else mattered. Like she was on my chest. She was breathing. The second I heard her cry, it was the same beautiful, magical experience as if I would have pushed her out and heard her cry because I just wanted her here. It had been 10 months. 2 years. She was in an incubator tube, you know, like being just hanging out, waiting to be here. And it was,
that was your journey.
It was my journey. And it was like beautiful. And, you know, after I had messaged my, my night nanny and was like, she's here. I really want to come home. You know, they want to keep you at the hospital after a C-section for up to 4 days, minimum two. I was so ready to leave. I was like, what do you need from me to allow me to go? She's like, I need you to like be able to like urinate on your own, go to the bathroom by yourself and you know, take a couple walks now that you're moving. I ended up getting them to release me the next day. I don't recommend that for everyone, but if you feel that, do it. Cause I just knew for myself, I would heal better being at home. I just wanted to be home and I wanted to just be with Josh and our night nanny to start really stepping into that, which I can't wait to dive into that and share how that journey went for me with Katie in our next episode. But yeah, I wanted to be home with my baby and I didn't want to be disturbed by all the nurses. And she gets set, you know, she was sleeping away from me in this like little like plastic. Yeah, I was ready to go home. I went home. I had all these yummy foods waiting for me that my friends brought over the, you know, couple days before. And then we started, and it was there. And that was, I healed pretty quickly and beautifully. I feel very lucky for that. It wasn't easy. It hurt. Like, I'm not going to discredit that it wasn't in a lot of pain, but the mother, like, instinct, you know, that woman who like picks up the car of her baby who's under the tire. It's like, that's how you feel after you give birth. You are like, nothing else matters. Like, you're just so excited to like, there's this new like human that had been living in you. And, you know, I was fine and I'm on the other end and I feel really, really good.
And I feel like I came to visit you at your house. I think Ellie was like 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
I want to say, and just the calm and peace in your house and the peace that I saw in you, and you had created, like, I came over to see you, a new mom, and you had created like a spread of like cheese and like always all this delicious food, just the way that you always have. And I know that it means something to you. And I know that that's like part of like, it brings you joy and it brings you life to be able to like, you know, entertain with food and have like shared experiences like that. You actually put everything into place so that you can have that experience and experience joy in the ways that you wanted to. And we spent time with Ellie and Josh was there holding Ellie, but we spent time talking and you looked good and you looked happy and you looked calm and peaceful. And you looked like a mom that knew what she was doing, even though you were in this brand new situation. And I loved that for you. And I left there feeling like, wow, this is like a really beautiful new motherhood experience that she's having.
Yeah. And I also, and you know, it really is a testament to all the women who've been there to support me and like share their knowledge of what they've experienced before with me. You know, we've said this before on the, I believe it's on the podcast, you know, my mom passed away in 2015 and, you know, I don't have, between not having her to, every time I talk about her, I get emotional, but her to call or like a lot of close relatives, like.
I know, Joe.
I feel so grateful for like the women who, you know, did it before me, helped and just made me feel so safe and supported. It's so needed. And I hope that, I really do hope that other women can use this platform to kind of do that for themselves, you know, like. Get that support. Oh, I didn't, Alayla, she was at my postpartum. She'd come over and give me these beautiful Abhyanga massages to help my nervous system. She would like massage my breasts because I was getting these like kind of clogged ducts. And for someone like me being so not vulnerable like that, like, I don't know, it was just really beautiful to like have these women step up for you and just want to make you feel good.
It's how motherhood should be. It should be supported and it should be a time where you're feeling the healing hands and support and love. It's better for you and your baby and everyone around you.
I agree. Something that I just want to say also really helped me through everything was journaling, which before pregnancy and birth, I didn't do a lot of it, but really helped me. And I want to recommend that to everyone. That's like a low cost, easy thing to do for yourself is really write things down that you're feeling and see what comes up for you. Because I found that really, just really like nourishing for me to do that in the morning. A lot of gratitude came out when I would write, even on days that I was tired or days that I was just feeling stressed out or felt like I couldn't figure something out. Like when I would write, these feelings of just gratitude really came up for me and it helped a lot.
That's so. Really good advice. Thank you for sharing that, Joe.
Of course.
I knew we were going to cry this episode.
I knew it. I was like trying to like hold it back because I want it to be very helpful to new moms and I want them to, you know, feel empowered during this experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. And I hope we help.
I think we are. I know that a lot of new moms have been experiencing the benefits of Little Honey Money just by being able to make a little dent in the things that they need.
You know, it really does transition into being like, whoa, like when I reflect on all the women that really like just have been a part of my journey, it's like I will never forget them and also just never would have had that. And then if I didn't kind of link, if I didn't use Little Honey Money, I wouldn't have ever had them a part of this journey if I didn't know that it was accessible and an option and something that could have helped me.
Yeah.
And in reflection, it really did.
Thank you for listening to the podcast by Little Honey Money. Visit us at www.littlehoneymoney.com and follow along on Instagram @littlehoneymoney.